98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Everything you need all in one spot every day. We call it the 4 o'clock reset. We hit the reset button on the show and the top stories of the day and give you our reaction to the stuff making news. The Patriots adding $5 million in performance-based incentives.
Incentives?
To Tom Brady's contract. Yeah, not...
Is that based on the size of his love handles? Bra size.
Wow.
Just saying.
Wow.
What are the incentives for Tom Brady?
How many Super Bowls has he won? How many championships has he won? I mean, really?
Just saying.
Seriously? I mean,
saw those pictures of him at the beach with his wife.
The greatest quarterback in the history of the game?
Yeah, really? he's getting a little soft.
Wow, you're going there, huh? Interesting. Oh, I saw that picture.
Yeah.
Do you want me to Google search a picture of all his championship trophies and rings?
I'm just saying, added $5 million in incentives.
And look at that.
I wonder if it was because of the love handles.
Despite that body, he's still kissing a supermodel. It's pretty impressive when you think about it.
Yeah, listen, when you've got money like that,
you can show me that doughy body all you want.
You can have a super hot wife.
He's still kissing a supermodel.
He is.
And he's got a lot of trophies and a lot of rings. Yes, $5 million in incentives. Speaking of marrying supermodels, Justin Verlander, in the midst of an all-star season, credits his wife, Kate Upton, with saving his career. Quote, "She was instrumental in me not, like, jumping off a bridge. I was depressed and kind of just upset at the world and trying to hide my own bleep." He was upset after an MRI. He thought about it. He thought it was the end of his career. He had been dating Upton for 2 years up until that point. And
she saved him.
She saved him.
That's an awesome story. I mean, that's your better half, right? I mean, that's a lot of times that's a great story. I mean, she helped him. She got him out of depression. And that's what a great relationship is all about. I got nothing negative to say about that. I think that's freaking awesome that he found somebody that he loves so much and that loves him so much that she was able to change his life for the better.
You're not going to make fun of his love handles?
I don't know. I think that's a great story, man. I mean, I think right. Women have the ability to do that. Women have the ability to lift us out of tough spots.
Baseball scoreboard today. Two games in particular that impact the idle Arizona Diamondbacks today. Both in the National League wildcard race. The Nationals beat the Braves 6-3. The Brewers lose to the Padres today 8-4. That's a game that Milwaukee was winning in the ninth inning. Hunter Renfroe, a grand slam, go-ahead grand slam in the ninth inning. And the Padres rallied
to beat
the Brewers.
I guess the Padres is still playing hard. They just took 2 out of 3 on the road in Milwaukee.
Apparently.
As bad as they are, it looks like they're still playing hard.
The Dodgers, who did lose last night to the A's and are a half game back of the Diamondbacks in the NL West, are in Colorado tonight for the start of a 4-game series there.
You root for the Rockies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got
the division is still the goal. The division is going to be
the goal. This might change as we go, but, we're going to have to root for certain teams in this division over other teams in this division.
Week one of the preseason begins tonight.
I'm looking forward to that.
Some interesting games on the slate. The Browns are taking on the Giants. So that's Baker Mayfield versus Saquon Barkley, though I read Barkley's not going to play much, if at all. The Panthers are the Bills, Josh Allen's debut. The Bucks at the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill says he's playing in that game after missing last year with a knee injury. The Texans at the Chiefs, Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, and perhaps the most interesting one, the Colts at the Seahawks. Andrew Luck is back for the first time in a long time.
What was he said last week, Andrew Luck? I mean, he was concerned about his career, wasn't he?
Andrew Luck was a little worried about his ability to play football long term. He was not sure if his career as he knew it was over.
There was a time or two where I thought I would not play football again, and I didn't think it was worth playing again, and I'm so glad to have worked through that. Like I said, I've received a lot of help, teammates, friends, family, fresh help, and also talking to some of my contemporaries and about things that they've gone through, and them sharing and opening up, about themselves was also very helpful.
Great quarterback. Glad to see he's back.
Have you ever seen the Captain Andrew Luck Twitter account? It's so funny.
Captain Andrew Luck?
Okay, so Andrew Luck kind of, with his facial hair, kind of looks like he's like a Civil War soldier, right? I mean, he kind of...
Haven't thought of it like that, but okay. I'll follow along for now. Go ahead.
So somebody's been maintaining this Twitter account for the last couple of years. where Andrew Luck is speaking, and he's speaking like the way you would write a letter back home if you were in the Civil War. Dearest mother, the unit has reached the outskirts of Hawks of the Sea territory. We shall set camp for today with plans to battle tomorrow. I am more eager than when we await the crops to come in. I am ready, my resolve mighty. Give the chickens my best. I love you, Andrew. It's if you don't get it, you don't get it. I get it. I think it's very funny.
Now, there was a Civil War TV show that I was watching. I just can't remember the name of it. It was pretty successful, but I stopped watching it a couple, like 2 years ago. But it's like still going on.
Yeah, the Captain Andrew Luck Twitter account is funny.
It's like a spy. He's like a spy for the, I can't remember.
But our top story of the day is Steve Wilks today, though not pointing out anything specific, saying that all four of his quarterbacks will play in the Cardinals preseason opener, which is coming up Saturday night against the L.A. Chargers. I almost said the San Diego Chargers.
You almost did.
I almost did. The L.A. Chargers on Saturday night at home, so we will see all four of them. I can't imagine we're going to see much of all of Sam Bradford. A series, two tops, probably just one. A lot of Josh Rosen, and then we'll see about Glennon and Kanoff. I'm sure we'll see them in the second half as well. Josh Rosen, really good sit-down with Doug and Wolf this morning live from Cardinals training camps. And here's Wilks confirming all will play on Saturday.
Yeah, they all will play, all quarterbacks, yes.
So, Josh Rosen, how do you feel two days before this game?
I'm really excited. I'm basically trying to take every day, day by day and hour by hour. Because if you try to look too far ahead, it looks like a lot. I mean, the preseason four games is basically a quarter of a college season before you even start your actual regular season. So I'm just kind of getting ready to try and strap in for the long haul. Get my body right and try and master this playbook and really be ready week to week if my name is called.
Anything stood out to you when he was on with the guys this morning?
I liked his answer to the why question.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved his response to the question about what he's learning from Bradford. I thought those two things stood out the most to me about him. Listen, I don't know everything about people didn't like this kid. Man, we haven't gotten one glimpse of that since he's been here. Like he has handled himself very professionally. And again, I always say this: I don't care if you like him or not. I just care if he. Yeah, I just care if he does a good job.
Sure.
Just want to win football games. I don't have to like him. But he's been a likable guy. I was almost expecting that. I was almost expecting, probably not going to like this kid based on what everybody was saying about him. But who cares as long as he wins football games. But as the more and more I hear him talk, he seems like a very likable guy.
Yes, he does.
I mean, he's not a guy he's not an ass. Now, maybe he turns into one down the road. I don't know, but he seems like a likable guy. And then, the why thing with wanting to learn and stuff like that, I thought that was fascinating. I thought the comment on Bradford and him being in the best situation was a good interview by Doug and Wolf this morning. I think people should listen to it. I got a lot out of it.
He was asked by Wolf if the wanting to know why thing has been blown out of proportion.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. I mean, if I was a teacher or I was a coach, like, I would be concerned if my, like, or I would either, one, think he knew absolutely everything down cold, or two, be very concerned that he's, like, disinterested. I would want, like, my student or my player, if I was a coach or teacher, to, like, ask questions and try to figure out, like, what we're doing. Otherwise, I'd be like, is something wrong? Or, like, this kid must know absolutely everything. And I absolutely don't, and I'm very interested. So I want to find out the details of everything because I want to be one of the best in the game.
I really like him. I like him. I like him a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think we're getting to the point.
I find him very intriguing.
He's interesting. He's intriguing. He's smart. He's likable right now. He is. He's likable. And I hope it stays that way. Listen, but it doesn't matter. Like, Randy Johnson was not a likable guy, okay? He is now, yeah. But he wasn't when he played.
And I never cared.
But who cared?
I never cared.
Right, a guy won Cy Young's. He was the best. Who cared? Hey, he's a jerk. Okay, I don't care. I want to see him pitch.
World Series co-MVP and four
Cy Young
awards later.
Breaking bread with the guy?
I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
You know? I mean, Curt Schilling was a much nicer guy. You know, not much. Gonzo's fantastic. So Randy was a jerk. So what?
Yeah.
You know, I just, hey, Kurt Warner's a real likable guy. Palmer was a likable guy. I think so far what we've seen out of Rosen is, and I can't judge his play yet. We'll get that. But so far he's a likable person.
Madden 19 drops tomorrow. We're celebrating, giving away copies every hour, all day long tomorrow. Text Madden, M-A-D-D-E-N, to 62620. Do it right now and listen for your name tomorrow with Doug and Wolf starting at 6 a.m. Plus, one grand prize winner will score a console of your choice. A PS4 Pro or an Xbox One S. Once again, text Madden to 62620 to enter. He was brought in as an injury replacement, but now that he's got some time under his belt, does Eduardo Escobar have a long-term future right here with Arizona? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Which actually today is being called the Burns and Golden Leg Show. We have learned that Gambadoro in Italian is translated into golden leg.
Golden leg.
That's right. I've known you for 20 years. I've never
surprised you did not know that. I've never mentioned that before.
You have never mentioned that before. Jordan, has he ever mentioned that before?
No, that was a new one.
I thought I would have mentioned that at some point. Gambadoro is golden leg.
I
should have been a field goal kicker.
We will replay.
I could have been Jay Feely.
Could have been a contender instead of a bum, which is what I am.
And here it is from 52 yards for the game. John Gamp, golden leg. Gambadoro for the win.
Jarrett Carlin, our producer of the Bickley and Murata show, and the guy who comes up with all of the parody songs around here.
He's our comedian.
We'll play it on the air in a little bit, but it is available on social media now on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo. You can find the link to Jarrett's parody to the theme of James Bond's Goldfinger, except he's singing Golden Leg, and It's so funny. Go to at Burns and Gambo. I promise we'll play it on the air a little bit later, but it'll put a smile on your face Thursday afternoon.
Get him a lollipop in there. That wasn't
no,
in
no,
there.
No yeah. lollipop reference. No lollipop uh-huh. reference. It was funny to hear, and I take it as a you know, not that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, but you definitely started something yesterday.
Yes.
After the Diamondbacks game, which the D-backs won against the Phillies.
Everybody's picking up on it now.
They're idle today, and they play the Reds tomorrow in a big series against a team that's no good. So it's very important for the Diamondbacks. The Eduardo Escobar story. He had 3 more RBI yesterday. He had another double yesterday. That's now 5 doubles and 7 ribbies in 10 games as a member of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He is, for all of the so far early on failings of some of the bullpen guys they got at the deadline, Eduardo Escobar has been exactly what we thought he was going to be. Manny Machado light. He has made
his numbers may be more impressive than Manny Machado's. I have not looked up Machado's, but I wonder if his numbers are more impressive than Manny's with the Dodgers. And at the end of the season, I think they're going to be very comparable, if not better. He's perfect. I mean, he's perfect for this baseball team. And he's really, really good defensively. He's made some plays at third base that have just been fantastic. So he's good defensively, he's good offensively, he's really going to help this lineup, plays with a lot of energy, good clubhouse leader. I'm impressed.
Manny Machado with the Dodgers in 19 games is hitting .273 with 2 homers, 5 RBIs, 4 doubles, and a triple.
Not that impressive.
He's got an OPS of .792.
Can you make the argument Escobar's better?
Well, he's got
less games.
He's got half as many games with his new team. He's got 2 more RBI. He's been in half as many games, and he's got
higher batting average.
A higher batting average. He's
more doubles.
He's got more doubles. He's got 5 doubles compared to Manny's 4.
Wow.
Manny's got the triple and 2 home runs.
So
he's got
Escobar,
more RBIs and
so far,
games.
Escobar in less games has performed better than Manny Machado.
In several categories, yeah.
Now, so the firestorm I started yesterday, which a lot of our shows on the station are picking up on, is I kind of hinted that Escobar may not be a rental, that he could be a guy that they look to keep. Now, to do that, it would probably mean that they look to move Jake Lamb. And Jake's got 2 years of control left, good player, and you could probably trade him with 2 years of control left in the offseason and get some prospects for him. You know, because there's a team out there, Jake's young, and he's been an all-star, and he's got left-handed power bat. And so you might, if you decide that you like Escobar better, you could try to sign Escobar, Because I don't think he'll cost, like, he's not J.D. Martinez.
No.
But he's also not going to, you're not going to get him for $5 million. He's making like $4.5 million now.
You know, I was thinking about
that. You're
not
going to get him for that.
I was thinking about that last night after our conversation, after our show. And I, this is, just, I mean, it's just a stab in the dark. This number popped into my head.
Can I guess?
Sure, go ahead.
4 years, $50
million. That's exactly what I was thinking about yesterday. That was the number I had bouncing around my noggin after the show yesterday. 4 years, $50 million. To keep Eduardo Escobar, to sign Eduardo Escobar. Now,
I don't think it'll be more than that either.
Because he's
30. It's not like he's a consistently great player. This is the best year he's had.
Yep.
He's been a backup infielder, but like, he's really a good baseball player.
He's put up decent career numbers. Okay. But this is by far and away the best season that he has had as a Major League Baseball player. And I mean, last year, I shouldn't say that. You know, last year he was pretty good too. 2017, he didn't have as high of a batting average. He was hitting .254, but he had 21 homers. He drove in 73 runs. It's the doubles, man. That's the thing that really pops. He's got 42 so far this year in baseball.
What did he have last year?
Last year he had 14 doubles. He's got 42 this year. Now,
you're worried at all that this isn't really him? This isn't who he is? Just one of those freak years?
Sure, but weren't some people worried about that with J.D. Martinez?
Oh, we all said he'll never duplicate the numbers, and he's probably going to duplicate.
He's
going to hit 47 home runs this year. Yeah. I mean, what's he on pace for? He's on pace to driving 135 runs.
Look, it all depends.
J.D. Martinez.
If you're the Diamondbacks, to me, signing Escobar all depends on, do you know you're going to lose Patrick Corbin?
Sure.
There's
a domino effect with everything.
Do you know you're going to lose A.J. Mm-hmm. Pollock? Because keeping Eduardo Escobar might be a good cost-effective way of keeping the window propped open for another year, even though you lose a Corbin or you lose an A.J. Pollock next year, because having him in the middle of your lineup is still going to keep that lineup viable.
I think there's a board, and I think it's board number A. You lose Patrick Corbin. Okay. Yeah.
Board number A?
Like on the board.
Number, letter A.
Board number A? Oh, letter. See, that's why, like I told you, I wish I was like intelligent. Like I wish I would have paid attention in school like Josh Rosen did. Because then I wouldn't say as many stupid things. Like, how many times do you think Josh Rosen through the course of the day says something stupid? Probably like never.
Probably like this.
Right, because like he was always asking questions, you know, trying to learn.
I don't know if you know this. I have this filter in my brain.
Yeah.
And every time you say something like that, I have to ask myself, do I let this one go or do I say this?
No, I don't care.
I couldn't let the number A go by without saying something. Please finish the point that
okay.
you're making. So board number.
With
board,
a letter.
Board A. Okay.
Board. So the board.
The A board.
It's you lose Patrick Corbin. Domino effect. Okay, lose Patrick Corbin. Could probably keep A.J. Pollock. Might be able to keep Escobar. Probably got to sign a low-end pitcher like a J.A. Happ. Okay, number two. You keep Corbin. You pay him a lot of money. Probably can't keep A.J.
Right.
Probably can't keep Escobar. Okay, board number three. You lose Corbin and A.J. Okay, you lose both of those guys. Okay, now I could keep Escobar. And I could go sign a pitcher. So, like, there's a domino effect. It all depends on your two free agents, Corbin and AJ.
Mm-hmm.
And Escobar's your free agent. But I think the main thing is Corbin. The domino effect is if you have to pay Corbin, you probably can't do very much more. If you lose Corbin, well, then you probably have a little bit of flexibility to do something. But you're going to need to go get a pitcher. You might need to go get a Matt Harvey or a J.A. Happ or somebody that's available to kind of be that guy. Now, you might, you're still hoping that Robbie Greinke's one, Robbie Ray's two. You might feel that Godley and Buchholz are good. You may not need a top-end guy,
right,
but you're going to need a pitcher to replace Corbin because Walker's not coming back soon.
Nope.
You know, so, but I do think the domino effect all starts with Corbin and then AJ. But Escobar's a guy that I think you kill two birds with one stone. If you keep Escobar, you trade Corbin, and you get prospects back. And so now you help your minor league system
trade
out
Lamb,
a little bit.
Trade Lamb.
Trade Lamb, excuse me, not Corbin.
Trade Lamb.
You trade Lamb,
yeah,
and you get some prospects back for Jake Lamb because Jake is still under control for two more years after
the
season.
The way he's played these 10 games, because last year keeping JD was not realistic. We all know it. And even though hope was kept alive throughout the offseason,
there was a slim chance, and that's all it was. And yep. We always said it.
And
not going to happen, but there's a slim chance.
I feel like the chances of being able to keep Escobar are far, far better than slim because he's just so much more affordable.
Jake Lamb's 27 years old. He's 27. He's been an all-star. He hit 30 home runs in 2017, 29 the year before that, 91 RBIs, 105. Like, if you decide you want to keep Escobar, I think that you could get a lot for Jake. Yeah. I do. I think you could get a lot. Now, you're giving up on a 27-year-old third baseman that could hit you 30 home runs and drive in 100.
Who is coming off of an injury season. And
but he's always been really a low average hitter. He's a career .247 hitter.
He hasn't really been productive for the last year and a half.
He's a good ball player.
He's a good ball. I like Jake baseball player, but yeah. Escobar is maybe a better ball player. They're both breaking in new coaches with the assistance of a veteran quarterback. Can ASU and U of A survive these spotlights they've been given? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Get an update on our Twitter poll of the day, and for that we go back to Andy Greenberg over there.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
What you got for us today?
Well, if we're doing color nicknames, you just call me Montaña Verde, which would be Greenberg in Spanish.
Really? Okay. After Golden Lake, we're doing this now. That's what we're going to do.
Who is the MVP of the 2018 Diamondbacks so far? 54% say David Peralta.
It's gone up.
28% say Zach Greinke. 15% Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
And 3% other. We asked people to reply. Here are some of the new responses we got. Zach Godley and his 12 wins. Daniel Descalso. And I think this one was just a joke. Well, maybe. Recently. Alex Avila. Not even a question, says CJ.
Oh, God. Listen, this isn't
Should we give him a lollipop?
Listen, this isn't one. I'm not surprised by this. Peralta's, to me, he's been the MVP. This is an opinion thing. It's not a right or wrong thing. You know, Goldie's been, you know, very good for them. He carried the team for a month. I mean, certainly in June, he carried the team. Peralta's been really good. But I think the thing that separates Peralta, and again, I'm not saying this is a right or wrong thing. I think Peralta's the MVP. You think Goldie's the MVP. So I'm not saying, like, I'm right and you're wrong because of the poll. I'm not doing that because I do think it's an opinion thing. But I think we kind of expect Goldie to put up great numbers. And
sure.
I don't think we expected David Peralta to do what he's doing. He's going to have the best numbers of his career by far. Mm-hmm. 25 homers, 80-something RBIs. This is a career year.
Yeah.
Like, we're used to David Peralta being a nice player. This year, he's been better than that. I mean, his numbers are all-star compatible. I mean, he's been that good.
Yeah, and I acknowledge that is absolutely part of the reason why he's carrying 54% of the vote right now, and I think part of it, too, is just that he is such a likable, popular guy.
Yeah.
And you know, Goldie... We're used to Goldie being good. We're kind of accustomed to that. David Peralta being this good is kind of a new phenomenon, and you kind of get used to it that way. That's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo is where you can find that. Today, a couple things happen when it comes to ASU football. Yesterday, they made the trip to Camp Tanazona. They can't practice there because the turf field has not been installed because of all the rain. But Coach Herm Edwards, really, it was important for him to get up there at least for a day. They hiked to the top of Cush Mountain, and they did some traditions.
I like that they went there for the day. I mean, it's not that long of a trip. You go, you come back, you show, some ties to the past, and eventually they're going to spend more time there. But it's a lot harder to spend time there now because of the technology, because of how convenient it is to practice at ASU, because they've got the bubble, because they've got, you know, all the video rooms, the technology, the workout rooms, the weight rooms. You get a lot more accomplished here than you do there.
Normal.
It's the truth. You do.
Oh, no, I agree. Although I do really believe it'll help when they put that field turf in there, when they get that installed, because at least then you don't have to worry about getting on a bus and going back to Payson to practice when the rains come. Today, tickets went on sale for the big, big showdown against Michigan State. Second game of the season for the Sun Devils. Nationally televised, nationally ranked opponent.
Local quarterback, right? Yeah. Went to Pinnacle, Jordan? Pinnacle High School, that quarterback?
Big time, Big Ten team.
Yeah.
I mean, the kind of opponent that normally that's a matchup we get really excited about. It's hard to get excited when expectations are so low for your team. I want to meet Michigan State when I have a chance to beat Michigan State. And instead, I'm not sensing a whole lot of anticipation for that matchup because I'm also not sensing a whole lot of the belief that ASU is going to be very good this year. It's hard to get excited when those big time.
But what a great way to make a statement, though, right?
Oh, sure.
You go out there and you play them toe to toe, and I don't even care if you lose the game, but if you fight them, and that's a game in the fourth quarter, I mean, that's a great way to make a statement about ASU football. Hey,
no doubt.
Listen, we're here. We got some talent. We can play. We just took one of the top teams in the country. We played with them. I'd rather get Michigan State early than get them late. And the simple reason why is that they're gonna start to get on a roll. They're going to start to get better and everything. So, you know, a lot of times you want to catch these teams early. You want to catch them early.
Well, in college football, you're only going to get a team like Michigan State early.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'd rather, well, you know, like the SEC player has that patsy game in November.
Do, that's true. They do have that patsy game in late November. They always get that little
I'm just
one.
Just saying, and here, especially with the heat, you know, it's a 7:45 kickoff, but it's still going to be 90, 100 degrees outside. I mean, it's a, you know, you are catching them at the right time. But I'm also saying it's better to catch them, you know, like how many, what game of the season is that for them, for ASU?
Second game of the season.
And Michigan State's second game, too,
I think. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's better to get them early so they don't have a lot of time to get on a roll.
I hope that ASU can be competitive with them because, I mean, this Herm Edwards experiment, which we've decided is one of the most experimental experiments in the history of Phoenix sports, which loves its experiments, by the way, right?
Yes.
This Herm Edwards experience is not getting rave reviews around the country, and to get humiliated on national TV against Michigan State is not going to help anything. So I hope they can be competitive.
No,
I look forward to these big-time teams coming in when my team is big-time too, you know? And I feel like it's going to be a real clash, and I just...
Doesn't Washington have, is it Auburn, like the first week of the season?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do.
I think it's Washington and Auburn.
Yes, they do. It's
like,
Washington.
Here you go. Let's Washington, if you're good, we'll find out a lot about the Pac-12 in week one. Auburn.
It was like that ASU game against Texas A&M a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Where I remember that, where it was the kickoff classic. Okay, here we go. Let's roll up our sleeves and let's find out if this is legit or not. Big-time early season matchups like that, I love when both teams have high expectations. When one team has so much higher expectations than the other, it's kind of hard to get that excited.
I'm gonna tell you, the Pac-12 needs Washington to win that football game. I'm gonna tell you right now.
They need it.
They need Washington to win.
Big time.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. Speaking of expectations, saw a bowl projection today. U of A projected to go to the Holiday Bowl. They're preseason love.
You're not buying them, but I am. I'm buying a little ASU, a little U of A stock right now. They had a lot of true freshmen playing that defense last year. They got these two great linebackers that were both true freshmen. They've got a young secondary those guys got a lot of picks. You go look at their corners and safeties. Those got 3, 4, 5 picks. I know they gave up a lot of yards, but damn, they were so young. But almost everybody's coming back. I actually think they're going to be good. I don't think this is just about Khalil Tate. They got that running back they got. He's a little guy, but he's good too. So it's not just Khalil Tate. They got their wide receivers back. I like that 5'7" running back. I mean, I think U of A is going to be a pretty good football team.
A couple things. Number one, that defense got gashed last year on the ground. Completely gashed. Number two, Khalil Tate didn't finish the season all that great. I started to wonder last year if opposing defenses were starting to figure him out a little bit. Because he did not finish as strong as he started. Statistically speaking.
That's why they got to get the passing game down. They've got the ability. They've got some talent there at wide receiver.
I think they're look,
Tony
I,
Ellison, the Brown kid. They've got some talent there, so he's got to throw the ball.
I don't think they're not going to be good. I just think 19th in the country, like Sports Illustrated said. I don't know if they're going to be that good.
U of A loses 5 games every year. I mean, look, at 18 out of the last 19 years, they've lost at least 5 games. So for them to go to the Holiday Bowl, you can't lose 5 games and go to the Holiday Bowl. You're going to have to lose 2.
Right.
You know, so it's going to have to be a, you know, 2 or 3. You're going to have a really great season to end up at the Holiday Bowl because that's a New Year's Eve bowl game. So you're going to have to play really well.
There are plenty of questions heading into the Cardinals' first preseason game. So the biggest concern for Steve Wilks on Saturday might surprise you a little bit. That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Football is back. Well, kind of. Preseason football. The preseason football is back. And already, first minute of the game, Saquon Barkley ripped off a 38-yard run for the New York Giants. But I think they're losing to the Browns 7-3 right now. Yeah, preseason is right 7-3. Saquon Barkley.
Barkley had the run? Thought Jordan said it was Baker Mayfield.
No, it was Saquon Barkley.
It was Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley had a 38-yard run.
It was a pretty sharp-looking run, too.
Was it?
I mean, he did a start and stop and changed direction. Yeah, it was impressive.
I guess Joe
might be special.
Joe Flacco just led the Ravens on a touchdown drive against the Rams' backup defense. 10 plays, 70 yards, but he's looking nimble and spry, according to people who are covering the game. As he's getting pushed a little bit, potentially by Lamar Jackson one of these days. The Cardinals will get in, and of course, with the preseason, there's like a half dozen, maybe even more, like 8 or 9 preseason games tonight. The one to really keep an eye on that we'll probably talk a little bit about tomorrow is going to be Andrew Luck and the Colts against the Seattle Seahawks.
Sure.
Just because it's his first game in, you know, a year plus.
I think, this one, too. I mean, I want to see – I mean, honestly, because if the Cardinals had not drafted a quarterback, I wouldn't care so much about – you know, all these other quarterbacks. I wouldn't care about Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold. I wouldn't care as much. Josh Allen. But because the Cardinals drafted one, I want to compare him to those guys.
Totally agree.
You know?
Totally agree. Yep. I want to see how those guys do.
You know, there's the great class of 83, the one with Marino and Kelly and we'll never have a class like that. Elway and Tony Eason and Kenny O'Brien. Like, those, there were a lot of good quarterbacks. So there wasn't just, like, one answer. Like, Elway ended up winning the 2 Super Bowls at the end of his career. Mm-hmm. I don't think Miami didn't win a Super Bowl with Marino. They got to one and lost early in his career. But I don't think in Miami they were like, oh, my God, we would totally trade Elway for Marino. Marino was unbelievable.
Sure.
You know? So, I mean, there is a chance that a couple of these guys can have really good careers.
Steve Wilks, as the Cardinals get ready to get in on the preseason on Saturday when they host the Los Angeles Chargers, was asked what his biggest concern about Saturday was, and the answer was a little surprising.
Just really operations, you know? We want to make sure that we're very organized in detail, you know? I talk to the coaches as well as the players about substitution. You know, we don't want 10, we don't want 12, we want 11 guys out there. You know, we want to be smart in utilizing the play clock, and you know, we don't have to waste time out, so that means up-tempo kind of deal. And as I said from day one, you know, being smart is part of our DNA, pre-snap and post-snap penalties. So I want to come out of here, you know, really with a great understanding of that, and then we'll see where we are from a standpoint of a team.
He just kind of wants to be organized more than anything else.
Seems like it, right?
Yeah, that's the biggest concern, just to make sure that we aren't chaotic, that we're not disorganized.
This is his first game as a head coach.
Yeah.
Like, organize, let's make sure we...
look like we know what we're doing.
Sure. Let's make sure we look like we know what we're doing with everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
With instant replay, with timeouts, with just management,
clock management,
making sure that I don't have too many men on the field. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have too little on the field. I don't want to have anything that makes us look like we weren't prepared.
Yeah. There was a lot from Steve Wilks today. Part of what he wants to see out of this preseason, he wants to see the wide receivers start to separate themselves a little bit.
Guys just really trying to separate themselves. You know, when given an opportunity, making plays, catching the ball in traffic. Number one, understanding and knowing their assignment, particularly in the run game, being efficient there, blocking the right support player as the linebacker, safety, or corner. So it's all the little things that we talk about.
On the injury front, he was asked this morning why Robert Kimdichie was not at practice today.
He's fine, just had a little tendonitis, and again, we just wanted to make sure that he addressed that with Tom, the trainer, and he should be fine for the game.
Okay, so he's going to play.
I know.
Cool. Well, what are you thinking?
I mean, anytime there's anything about, you know, you didn't participate in the full practice and is tendonitis, or I'm just like, I mean, Robert, he has the potential to go down as, you know, one of do I want to say bust? Because I don't know, unfulfilled talent.
Okay.
There's been plenty of players like that. He's got all of this talent. He should be great. Like, I don't know, like, you should be great. Like, you should be a freaking superstar. Mm-hmm. You should be unstoppable. Like, you should be that good.
You dominated in the SEC, which everybody recognizes is the best conference in America. I mean, you've got gobs of talent.
Well, there are tons of players that look back on their career when it's over and be like, man, I should have put more into it. Sure. I took it for granted. Sure. And I hope he's not that guy.
Also, an injury update on linebackers Josh Bynes and Deion Buchanan.
Hopefully, we'll be able to get these guys back soon. You know, I'm not want to give you a timetable. You know, looking for maybe one day next week with Buchanan. And, you know, it's still up in the air with Josh. You know, he has a little sprain, nothing serious, but a little sprain neck. And we're going to make sure that we just take our time with that.
To the point where he was even asked if Deion Buchanan, who hyperextended his knee last weekend in the red and white practice, last week during practice, if Deion Buchanan had a setback.
I think it's more rest. You know, again, anytime you start talking about, you know, the knee, you just want to make sure that you are very cautious with that. So, again, I think he should be ready to go one day next week.
Okay, so good. One day next week.
Yeah, one day next week. A little bit of a setback. They have big plans for him. Like I told you, he's one of the guys I'm looking most forward to seeing this year. You know, because he's a guy you're going to want to re-up if he has a good year, and you're going to want to keep and make sure that he's in the fold for a long haul.
You know, it's funny, and I just thought of it. I don't know what made me think about this. We've talked about a lot of guys for the Cardinals this preseason. You know who we have not spoken a lot about?
Offense or defense?
Defense.
Defensive player we haven't talked a lot about.
I don't even know if we've mentioned his name once since the start of training camp. Certainly we haven't built a segment around him or had a conversation about Hassan Reddick.
Oh, okay.
We have all not. Right. Jordan, is it my man? We have not. He has been the invisible man. Persona non grata. I can't recall even having much of a thought about Hassan Reddick. He was a first-round pick a year ago.
Yeah, he was.
And I mean, I know he's starting linebacker on this team, but is he, you know, all of these questions about who's your second cornerback and how is Robert Kamdichi doing and is this guy, who's, you know, all. I haven't heard a lot of question or answers about Hassan Reddick and how he's done so far.
His first season in the NFL was uneventful.
Yes.
He was okay. There were glimpses of really, but he was still learning the position.
Well, remember, he was learning the inside, and they had to move him to the outside because of the injuries that they had. He kind of had to move around a little bit.
Tremendous talent. They loved everything about him when they drafted him. Overshadowed a little bit by Buda Baker last year because Buda was so good, made the Pro Bowl. Overshadowed a little bit, but I expect big things out of him.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be really good. Now, I don't know he's going to be like, oh, you know, Pro Bowl type player, but I expect that Hassan Reddick is going to be a very good player for a long time.
Eric,
it is interesting. We have not mentioned
him. I know, right? I mean, have you noticed that? We haven't talked much about Hassan Reddick at all so far this preseason or during this training camp. Join Aaron Maloney in Arizona Sports on Saturday at Volkswagen North Scottsdale. Starts at 11, goes until 1 in the afternoon. We're giving away Cardinals preseason and Diamondback tickets. We're giving away movie passes and much more. They'll also be hosting an Adopt a Dog event in conjunction with Halo Animal Rescue. There's going to be an on-site food truck there as well. Go to the events page at arizonasports.com for all the details, and we will see you on Saturday from 11 to 1 at Volkswagen North Scottsdale. This offseason has the potential to dramatically change the core of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And one projection? You're not going to like what one projection has to say. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Golden Leg show here on the Burns and Gambo show.